Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to our service today. And thank you, Marvin, for leading us in prayer today. It is my honor to give a very brief introduction to our speaker today, who is Ray Hanna. Ray Hanna is like the CEO of Lighthouse Harbor Ministries. He is the senior chaplain. A few weeks ago, we had the founding chaplain, Tuus Kapper, speak to us, and today we have the privilege and blessing of having Ray to come to speak to us. So. Ray, please come and give us God's word and tell us whatever's in your heart. Thank you.
Well, good morning. I'm glad you're awake. I always look for a response back from people. Yeah, thank you for the invitation to come and speak and to share, for the privilege of being able to address everyone here. Hope you can hear me all okay. Thank you for the support that you give to the work done through Lighthouse to the seafarers. This is the work of the Lord. This is not the work of Lighthouse. Lighthouse is just a means to be able to do this, but this is the work of the Lord, bringing the gospel, the good news of God's salvation, bringing the whole word of God to the sailors. We are privileged to be able to do this, especially to those who come from countries where we would not have this freedom. And yet we have the Canadian law that allows us access to the ships and on board. And we're very welcomed to be able to go on board and share the gospel. I see it already in your pamphlet there, and I'm very thankful for that. But don't forget, in 2 weeks' time, we are having our Advent lunch at Bethany Baptist. Please talk to Rob if you would like to come. I think everybody that comes not only enjoys a good meal, but they're blessed when they hear what the Lord is doing. So we would encourage you to come if you're able to. I just wanted to share a few quick stories before speaking about what is on my heart. And one thing I would say about Lighthouse, we are a ministry of stories, not just from the past, but the present, because we are meeting people every week. We are meeting 200 sailors between all of us every week that we are seeking to share the word of God with, to help them and encourage them. You can see there Our motto is to love and honor God by serving the seafarers of the world in word and deed. I would not want to just share the Bible with them and not care about them with their needs. Nor would I just want to care about their needs and not share the word of God with them. But together we do it. So yes, we do sit down with them and share the Bible, which is the ultimate goal. But we also want to help them out. Give them toques. Thank you, ladies, and maybe some men here that knit some of them. We run them to Walmart. We take them up into the hills for a little hike. We give them maps so they can take city tours, and we want to bless them and encourage them. And it's for most of the crew, they're 9 months on board. It's equal to a floating prison. So when they are here and they're able to get off for an hour or two, we want them to have a little micro vacation to refresh in their mind. It's a very, as I say to them, seafaring is a very good job, but it's not an easy job. And the greatest challenge is being away from your loved ones for 9 months. I meet many crew who have never held their infant child yet. While they've been at sea, their baby has been born. And they're anxious to get home to be able to hold their little child. And right now, as you know, there's a lockout in the port, and so many of the ships are delayed. They're stuck either in port or at anchor or even doing donuts out in the Pacific Ocean waiting for the lockout strike to end so they can come in. For most sailors, they don't mind that, especially those that are stuck in port. This is good for them. Except for the person that knows they're signing off in the next port. And now they want to get going. Let's get going. I'm signing off when I get back to Asia. I can't wait. Let's get over this so we can get on our way back. So for those who are frustrated by it, there's still some that are enjoying it. Just want to flip through a few slides quickly. This is Second Officer Chris from China. When I went on board his ship a couple weeks ago, he was so happy to see me. And he told me that he met me before COVID. He says, I met you when I was a cadet. And of course, that question that we don't like being asked is, do you remember me? No. And so, you know, I try to, you know, throw out little questions, trying to jog my memory. And but anyways, he must have shaken my hand 10 times. He was so happy to see me. So I'm just very thankful for that. And it's not just me. He remembered other people that he had met at Lighthouse there. This is the testimony of a friend of mine, Harry Chen. If you are interested, I would encourage you to go on YouTube and listen to his testimony of how he was searching for meaning, searching for purpose. And then he heard this word, everlasting life. Is that possible? How can that be? And he was searching for it, and I would say through very few people themselves, but it was the Holy Spirit that was convicting to him. And so it's an amazing testimony. But this is my friend, and I had asked him to do it for me in Chinese so I could let the Chinese sailors listen to it. And he had done it for me, and then he put it on Google Docs, and I'm not good technically, and I gave up on trying to find it. And then later, when I seen this here on YouTube, I said to him, oh, could you do it for me in Chinese? He says, I already did it for you. And it's on the link right below. And so, again, it was in Google Docs, so somebody helped me there. But here we are at the center one night with many Chinese crew that have limited English, and I have less Chinese, so they're doing much better than me, but we're having a communication problem. But I was able to put Harry's testimony up on the screen and let them listen to it. I was praising the Lord at how well they were listening. They never took their eyes off of him as they heard his testimony, because everything he said, where he was from, the time he was raised in, was very relevant to them. So what a privilege. These first few slides may lead you to think we have only Chinese crew, but that's not true. But we do have many of them. And so this was a man, I was on his ship, these two men, I was on their ship. I had helped the captain go ashore. I thought I'd made a friendship there with him. When I went on board the ship and I said, oh, can I visit with the captain? Well, he wouldn't have anything to do with me. But I was still allowed to be on the gangway and share with them here. And this fella here with the glasses standing, his English was not very good. But when I offered a Bible to someone else, they said, oh, for him. And as soon as he realized what it was, he had this huge smile on his face. And so maybe he's a believer. I don't know. But I gave him the Word of God. So we have these wonderful Bibles from Bibles for China. I call them Chinglish, English on one side, Chinese on the other. It's interesting, as we open them and I try to show them a verse, they will automatically read the English side. And then if they get stuck, they jump over to the Chinese side of it. They're beautiful. These are so valuable to us, these tools. And we just so appreciate what Bibles for China is doing for us here. This is a picture from 2017. Paul Ratsoy, another chaplain from Lighthouse, and I were in the Philippines in Iloilo, and Paul had made contact with this sailor. I think he was an OS, ordinary seaman, one of the lower ranks on the ship. But he was home, so we had contacted him, and he came to visit us at the hotel where we were staying, and he brought his wife and his baby. And you can see just their interest in listening to us on the street in the Philippines, in Iloilo City, and just the way they are listening to us. And I love children. My wife and me, we both love children. So, of course, I was holding their baby, and she was eating my sunglasses, and I was thoroughly enjoying the just connecting with them there. Well, Paul was on a ship here this summer, and he goes on board, and This man says to him, "Oh, Paul, do you remember me?" No. So he finally figured out, it's the same man, Felix. And so Felix remembered us and remembered that we had come to visit him. That meant so much to him that we had come to the Philippines to visit him. And so Paul told me about this. So I went to the ship. It's not a port I normally visit in. I went to visit there. And when I went on board, there was about 5 or 6 guys standing on the deck. And so I said, "Well, who here is from Iloilo?" "Oh, we all are." "Okay." Finally, I said, since nobody was recognizing me, I says, "Is one of you Felix?" And they all turn to one guy and point to him. And Felix is kind of like, "Whoa, how do you know me?" And then he goes, "Oh, you were with Paul in the Philippines." So it was a wonderful time there. He showed me a picture of his daughter, who's now 7. And it was just a beautiful time to connect with him again and let them know that we care for them and we want to encourage them. This was a sailor from Malaysia. I don't meet too many crew from Malaysia, especially crew that are as tall as me. So it was very nice to meet with him and chat with him. Of course, most of Malaysia is Muslim. I was able to give him our Gospel of John Romans, which I appreciated. This was some crew. They look like they're all Filipino, and this is at our center in North Vancouver. You know, they can easily come into our center and want to just get consumed with the internet. But we want to do more than that. We want to engage with them, play games with them. I don't play pool, but I play ping pong. Sometimes I beat them. Sometimes they make me look like I've never played it before. They're so good. But we want to have fun together there. This was upstairs in North Vancouver. And so we had a good group of guys there, and we're able to use the screen there to do a PowerPoint presentation of the gospel. The man in the center with the scarf, he's a Bangladesh captain. Very fine man, very nice, well-spoken man. He thinks Canada, this picture I think was in January, February, there's frost on the ground outside. He thinks Canada is too cold to be inhabited. He couldn't stand the cold, so he's always wearing his scarf there. But we sat and had a long talk, and he was very polite. I don't know if he was believing me or anything, but we were engaging in a conversation. That's what we want. We want them to converse with us. The man on the left, the tall man there, he's the chief officer from India. Told me he was a Hindu. We had quite a long conversation. He told me about a captain that was from Western Europe that he had sailed with, and this man was an atheist and trying to convince everybody else about atheism. He says, "But I was in the worst storm of my life with him, and I seen him down on his knees praying to God for protection." Yeah, the Lord can humble us very quickly. Yeah, here's some crew were playing a cornhole beanbag toss. And even though not everybody got involved with it, everybody was watching and part of it there. You know, we have many stories, but we also have to tell you the other side. Sometimes we feel like we're preaching to an empty audience. Nobody's listening. We've tried to go on board. We've tried to connect. We've tried to talk with them, but they're not paying attention. And this verse I need to read many times. So let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And this is what we need to be doing, is to be continuing on. Don't say, "Well, nobody listens, or nobody wants to talk to us, or nobody's interested in that anymore." No, there is a great interest in the world. It's well hidden, but we need to be seeking to share the gospel. Mark Cahill, if you look him up on YouTube, a lot of challenging messages. I like listening to him. He makes me feel very uncomfortable as his challenge about witnessing to people here. But he says, "Pray for Bob." Well, who's Bob? Well, B is pray for a burden. Pray for opportunity. And pray for boldness. That's what we need. We need to care for the lost around us. I have no problem sharing the gospel with the sailors. That's what I do. I enjoy it. I have lots of experience doing it. But what about my neighbor? What about the person in the supermarket? What about the person that sits beside me on the airplane? Do I care about them? Sadly, I can tell you I lack. But I pray for Bob that God would give me a burden for the lost, opportunities to share, and boldness to share his word. All right, moving forward here, I wanted to speak about the fruit of the Spirit. And why do I want to speak about this subject? Well, as many times when I speak, when I think about these things, what led me to this subject is I was thinking to myself about somebody, and I thought, they need to practice the fruit of the Spirit. I can be quite good at judging other people, which isn't good. But the good part of it is God often points the finger back at me and says, what about you, Ray? What about you? You're no different. And so that's why I was thinking here about the fruit of the Spirit. And it caused me to reflect upon it. And honestly, when I think of the fruit of the Spirit, I always think of it through how it benefits me. How by me practicing the fruit of the Spirit, I have all these wonderful benefits. But I learned something interesting. To be honest, most days I don't even consider it. But what I learned here, as I look at the practical image that the Apostle Paul uses of fruit, something we can all understand. What is the purpose of a fruit tree? A fruit tree, does it eat itself, its own fruit? No. A fruit tree does not eat its own fruit that I'm aware of. Maybe some scientists here could argue with me on that. But to my knowledge, a fruit tree does not eat its own fruit. So what's the purpose? The fruit is for others to enjoy. So then what is the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit? It is for others to benefit from and enjoy. It's not about me receiving the fruit. It's about me giving the fruit. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. I can truly say, Lord, I want the fruit of the Spirit in my life, and I want more of it. One writer writes this, fruit is the natural result of growth. Didn't I see that up here? Growing, yeah. It's not our striving or straining, but the power of the Holy Spirit. No amount of human toil or determination can produce spiritual fruit. But the Spirit's influence in a yielded heart can work miracles. What kind of growth? Spiritual growth. But if we look back a few verses, in Galatians 5:16, it starts saying this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary or opposite to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I've also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. All of these works of the flesh are selfish, self-love. Me first. I deserve it. I've earned it. I was watching my two grandchildren play on the floor a few weeks ago, a four-year-old and a two-year-old. And the four-year-old was trying to explain to the two-year-old why she deserved to play with this toy right now. The two-year-old, who has a totally different personality, reaches out, grabs it, and says, "Mine! Mine!" What's that? That's selfishness. And we see it. You know, we see this in the world around us. Me first. Selfishness, all about me. But sadly, I can see it in myself. But the fruit of the Spirit is not about me. That's gone. That should be gone. It's about you. It's about serving. It's about blessing others. I was traveling a number of years ago when I was still in the secular world, and I was walking through the airport with a friend of mine, and we had left early in the morning. He had not had a chance to say goodbye to his sons, so he phoned them as we were walking through the airport. And so he talks to his first son, and he's talking about the things of the day, and we'll be gone, and help mom. And then he says this at the end of his conversation: "But remember, be a servant to all." And then he talks to his second son, and he comes to the end: "But remember, be a servant to all." Sadly, this world, many parents are teaching their children the exact opposite. Fight for your rights. You deserve this. It's yours. Don't let them push you around. You tell them off. Well, I don't think that's what the Lord says. It says, Philippians 2:1 starts this way: "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being one accord of one mind." And then it says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." It is no longer about me. It's about others, just as Christ did for us. Christ did not come here to be served. He came to serve. And that we see that wonderful example of what he did. James 3 says, "If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder," "and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness." What is it? It's conforming to the image of God. You know, I stopped at the word pure. You know, what is pure? Nothing else mixed with it. A single ingredient. It is pure. You may have pure orange juice. Nothing else added. Nothing else subtracted. It is pure. What should we have? We should be following the Lord Jesus Christ with a pure heart. One desire. Not following with a 50-50 mindset. 50% serving the Lord, 50% keeping myself happy. 90% serving the Lord, 10% keeping myself happy. No, we should be serving the Lord with our whole heart. Am I there yet? Of course not. But that's our desire. And that's what comes from serving the Lord. 1 Corinthians says, "Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." And then we have this wisdom from John 15. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so that you will be my disciples. So how do we walk in the Spirit? John 15 just simply said, abide in me. Spending time with God, spending time in his word, praying, agreeing with God that his way is the absolute way and only way. Bow to the word of God. Psalm 1 tells us to delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on it day and night. It changes our world perspectives, our priorities. No longer my desires, but Christ who lives in me. Abide in me. Romans 6 says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life, a new purpose, not about self-serving, not about me, not about my comforts, my desires, my joys. It's about serving others. Do we want to be salt and light in this world? Not just with our words about right and wrong, but living it. The fruit of the Spirit shows the transforming power of the gospel. From what we were to what we are becoming, growing in Christ-likeness, cultivating the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we should be doing. And if we look in a mirror and we don't see that, we need to be abiding in Christ. If we look at and have the same priorities as the world has, if we have the same priorities as someone who is not a believer has, we need to be questioning ourselves. Why? What am I missing? And I'm not talking just about Sunday morning here. I'm glad to see everybody. But that's not just what it's about. It's about all the week, every day, every hour. Seen this here, a little clip. Don't try to overcome sin to get closer to God. Get closer to God so you can overcome sin. That's what we need. We need the right solution once we realize what is causing the problem. Don't pray for the fruit of the Spirit in our life. That is like putting the ball in God's court, saying, God, give me the fruit of the Spirit. No, God tells us how. Abide in me. You might ask God, you might pray and ask God for help. Yes, we need God's help. But God gives us the way. You know, there's another verse there about the Lord saying, I will make you fishers of men. I used to pray the Lord would make me a fisher of men. And then I reread that verse. And it says this, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I was trying to put the ball in God's court, saying, God, I'm praying, I'm asking that you will make me a fisher of men. Now it's up to you. No, the Bible tells us, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. Abide in me, and I will give you the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we need. But grow in grace, and I added sweetness and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Yeah, depends what screen it is. Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference of the colors. But we go from a very unripe banana to maybe an overripe banana. Well, where am I now? Well, I don't know. Let someone else try to decide that. Where do I want to be? Well, I want to be more on the overripe side than on the side that's not ripe. I want the fruit of the Spirit. I want people to see there's a difference in that guy. Why? And not only that, he walks what he talks. That's what we want. Ripening, not going backward. Why? That the world might know. This is not just a religion. This is a new life, born again, born anew. Not to live the old way, but to live the new way as Christ did. Why? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Although it is hard, we are to give up on this world's values, priorities, prizes, goals, and change them to the Lord's so that others would know Christ in you, the hope of glory. The world, the flesh, are lost. They walk in darkness. We are Christ's ambassadors, his representatives. You know, when I'm in on an airplane and we're hitting turbulence, you know what I do? I look to the stewardess or stewarded. If they're freaking out, I'm freaking out. If they're calm, okay, it's not that bad. I was landing on Monday. We were coming back from visiting her and our daughter. I was landing on Monday in Abbotsford, and I'm sure it was the roughest landing of my life. I think we went around four or five times trying to land in that heavy wind. I think Monday morning was heavy rain. Monday afternoon was heavy wind. We were trying to land, and that plane was kicking all over the place. And I was praying. I was praying. My wife was getting sick, but I was the one. I was praying there. You know, we need to be trusting in the Lord. Looking to the Lord. We need to be trusting in him. When does the light shine the brightest? When it's the darkest. Is there darkness around us right now? Yeah. There's a lot of darkness. People are searching for this, looking for happiness here, this priority, that priority. They're making their goal in life to be this thing here. They need light. They may not receive you at first glance. They may never receive the message. But our job is to go out and share this wonderful news of salvation. This is a little quote there I heard years ago that I've had to remind myself of many times. And add this to the end of your morning prayer each day. And now, Lord, as I start my day, help me not to treat others as they deserve, but as you have treated me. It's easy to treat others the way we think they deserve. But is that how the Lord treated us? No. He gave us so much blessing. We can thank God the Father and God the Son for the Holy Spirit that wants to work through us. And the evidence of it is the fruit of the Spirit. For me to enjoy? No. For others to benefit, to others to see, to others to enjoy. Galatians 1 again. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for the time to share with you. Thank you for the invitation, allowing me to come. Just some thoughts that I was enjoying him for my own life to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. How? By abiding in Christ, that others may benefit from me and through me. May the Lord bless us. I'll just maybe short prayer, and then I know others will be coming up after. But Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy to us in salvation. But not only in salvation, Lord, day to day. Lord, we need your forgiveness. We need your help every day. And Lord, may we abide in Christ. May we spend time in your word, in prayer, meditating on your word, that the fruit of the Spirit may be evident in our life, not for our glory, but to tell other people about a Savior, a new life. Lord, we have a wonderful hope in heaven. where we will be with our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless each one here, we pray, in our Savior's name. Amen. Thank you.